Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long, where hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because, you know, we're doing it live. Mac is in the power chair, and on the line we have Roadhouse and, of course, Rahway Tommy. Now, before we get to the show, we want to express our best wishes and prayers for Damar Hamlin and his family after suffering a cardiac arrest on Monday Night Football. Please take this opportunity to donate to Damar Hamlin's Charity for Children as we pray for his speedy recovery. As initial reports are that his vital signs look promising, thank God. With that, we will pivot to the Giants' playoff clinching win over the Colts.
To quote the man, Ric Flair, I celebrated this Giants victory with a tear in my eye.
I'm going to tell y'all, with a tear in my eye, this is the greatest moment.
I watched it with my little boy, little Rahway Tommy. We root for the Giants together like I did with my dad as a kid, and I wanted to dedicate today's pod to him. My dad passed away when I was 18. I got to enjoy two Super Bowl victories with him, one that I remember, Super Bowl 25. And one I remember through highlights and stories from Dad, Super Bowl 21. Then I had my Giants, the Eli Manning, Michael Strahan, Tom Coughlin Giants, win two against the Patriots in Super Bowl 42 and Super Bowl 46. Those were different. I watched with friends, but it was, even though he was there, something was missing. But this win against the Colts on Sunday was different, everybody. It ended 6 years of misery and being a laughingstock of the league. I got to watch it with little Rahway Tommy and listen to him yell, "Go Giants, playoffs, playoffs." Once again, with a third watching from above who will always be with us, my dad literally had tears in my eyes at the end of this game as we are locked into the number six seed and we're going to the playoffs. What do you guys think?
I don't know how to follow that up, Tommy, but I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a way to clinch the playoffs. Four touchdowns from Danny Dimes. So it was almost like funny. It was like about the third quarter. I was like a little bored. I was like, oh, dominating. I was looking at my phone. But I tell you what, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I could not take my eyes off the field, gentlemen. I have to say, being in the stadium, you're right. The Colts had no interest in being there, but New York Giants fans did because it was an absolute party. And, Rahway, you bring a tear to my eye because I also had my niece – at the game with us up in the 300 levels, her first game ever. And it was, yeah, again, top three most important win in that stadium in the last decade. Giants fans were absolutely partying in their seats.
Yeah, I'm glad for the people that were in the building, the people at home. We did fall behind 3-0. And the first thought I had was, can't we just go up 7-0? And then the next thing you know, bang, 14-3. And you're going, it's happening. And you just had that feeling going forward that the Giants were the much better team. You know, there's a few numbers that matter, and we'll look at all the numbers of these guys, especially Daniel Jones and the offense and the stars on defense. But 38-10 equals win number 9, and it doesn't matter what happens next week. We're playing on Super Wild Card Weekend.
Well, just like you said, you know, it's 14-3, and you're thinking, okay, it's, you know, late in the second quarter with 14-3, good halftime lead. Next thing you know, Landon Collins. It was that same part of the field where Jason Sehorn took it to the house as well. But then they get the ball right back, and you get Snow Angel. The Snow Angel and the broken collarbone. Thibodeau is really turning into a beast. Was it later in the second half where Dexter Lawrence literally just bull rushed Quentin Nelson, made him look like a rag doll?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Thibodeau had the sack, the big sack, knocked Foles out of the game. Hopefully
very
he's
bad
okay.
Man. A very bad man, Kayvon, according to everybody else. You know,
I really don't think he knew he was hurt. He does get up. He did apologize. He's young. He's going to make mistakes. He'll learn from them. But he had two big tackles.
I'll tell you what, it was a long snow angel. somebody did a timer. It was 10 seconds. And I was watching it. I was like, he's been down there doing a snow angel for a long time.
You know, but that play that Dexter Lawrence absolutely manhandled Quentin Nelson, who's having a rough year, but the perennial all-pro versus a future all-pro and pro bowler in Dexter Lawrence. I mean, it was man versus man, and Dexy absolutely abused him on that play.
And, you know, so I had a bet in on one of the betting sites, and I hit on four of the parlays. Of course, Daniel Jones has one of the best games of his career, although he didn't get to 200 yards passing, which annoyed me. However, I can't criticize him for that. 125 rating, 96.9 QBR, four touchdowns, 19 for 24, 91 yards rushing. I mean, hey. And we all know the debate is over. We're not even doing the court. The court is well since passed. Daniel Jones is the quarterback for the future. And, man, he really showed it on Sunday.
I wish the disciple was here just for that reason. I really want to just hear him have to give it up to Daniel Jones. Because I'll tell you what, really, being in that stadium, I mean, almost like getting emotional, hearing the stadium roar Daniel Jones' chance for him. It was really phenomenal to hear. And I have to imagine what this kid has gone through at the hands of Giants fans. Not me on this podcast. That's for damn sure. Let the court be clear. The record be clear. But, my God, it was really awesome. And he deserved it.
Guys,
hell of a game.
I had to go back, grab the remote, rewind, because I was like, they're chanting for this is awesome. They were chanting. I thought I heard Daniel Jones chants. And it's amazing, though. There's still some haters out there. I don't want to hear it. Go away. Crawl back under your bridge. Collect your tolls, your trolls. Go away.
One last thing on Daniel Jones before I move on here is, do you see the story that came out about what Daboll did to him during training camp? So basically, he would set him up for failure. So he'd have the defense would know the plays, or he'd call out a play for Daniel Jones that he knew would not be effective against the defense.
This is wild.
And he would just let him fail over and over again. And then he would send in a play for Tyrod Taylor that was like a sure win for the offense. And he just wanted to see his how he handled adversity.
I mean,
give him the plays. It's crazy.
You know, there's I saw a stat flash on Sunday. There's two Giants quarterbacks that have ever rushed for two touchdowns and thrown two touchdowns in a game. Daniel Jones has done it twice, and the other one, we got to go back a long time, was Charlie Connerly, you know, of the NFL champion Giants. So, I mean, we've never had a guy that can do these things in the modern day.
And if I've never heard of him, he must be old. So that's for damn sure.
Forget all this. This is all wonderful. We need to bask in this. But, gentlemen, the playoffs are locked up. Like, what else is there need to say? There is another game to go, and the Giants are in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. So we've enjoyed the win. So let's get to the segment. Appropriately named Playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
First, let's get to what they should do against the Eagles. Rest them or play it all out? What do we think? That's the topic that's going to be dominating all week. Let's just address it.
Well, it's definitely nice to be talking playoffs and not going online and looking up mock drafts, seeing where the Giants are going to draft like we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years. I think we got to go out there and we got to play, right? This team's about character and culture. Daboll and Shane are building a new culture, right? Bringing back that historic Giant culture of winning championships, smash mouth football. So we don't lay down. Let's go out and get revenge. He's not there anymore, but when Doug Peterson kept us out of the playoffs and didn't do the right thing, we show that we go out, we do the right thing, we keep our guys sharp. Iron sharpens iron. Don't sit these guys out. Don't give them a week off. Let them go out there, get better, keep improving, play the game. We know in 2007 it worked out well. We may see these guys again. We may see the Vikings again. Keep working. Keep working towards the goal, and like they said on Sunday, continue to shock people. We'll shock people this Sunday if we go out and cost the Eagles the division. How great would that be? Cost these guys the division. Cost them the number one seed.
Party at the Moontown.
You know what? I'm totally with if guys are injured, right? A guy's got an injury. He's hurt. We keep him out, right? He's injured. He shouldn't be playing. We want him 100% for wild card weekend. And Adoree Jackson. This gives him two more weeks to come back healthy. But these guys that are healthy and ready to go, Daniel Jones, Barkley looks healthy. Play those guys. Let's go out and beat these Eagles.
Listen. I appreciate all of that, but there's no incentive to play them. There's only risk. The Giants are the sixth seed. winning against the Eagles does not affect who the Giants play. It's going to be the Vikings or possibly the 49ers. All I see is risk. All I see is what happens after Saquon carries the ball 20 times, 30 times versus coming off a bye. Let Saquon sit. Leonard Williams, a linchpin of that defense, he's been battling a neck. Let the guy sit. DJ, okay, let him play a half. No running the ball. And you know, like I said, this means nothing. Anybody who's banged up at all, even let McKinney. We don't want that hand getting hurt, re-injured. Adoree Jackson, keep him on the bench. I'd love to say I hate the Eagles as much as the next guy, but I'm not going to go out and risk when you have a chance to really, you can go to the Vikings and win. Winning a playoff game, I wouldn't risk that.
I mean, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, we can sit here and debate it all we want. Dable's already come out and said that he's playing his player. So, frankly, it doesn't really give a damn how we feel about it. That is what he is going to do. And if he turns out to be Tom Coughlin in 2007 and this team has a great game, whether they win or lose, what was it, 38-35 against the Patriots, undefeated at the time, and a lot of the players contribute that game as to what launched them into success in the playoffs. I'm not saying this team's going to win the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. It's a completely different situation. But if he plays them and it does that type of momentum for them in the playoffs, he's a genius. If they go out and Saquon Barkley has an ankle sprain in the first quarter, he's an absolute idiot. He really has no you just got to cross your fingers. And hopefully they treat it like a preseason game. Roadhouse, I'm more on your side here, right? Let McKinney get a couple of snaps, though. He hasn't played in weeks. We need him to get a little bit of momentum.
Well, yeah, so, I'm certain they don't have enough players on the roster to sit everybody. Certainly got to let guys play a bit. But
let Adoree get 10, 15 snaps. Just get on the field again. You know, Leo, don't touch the neck though. Let him sit out. Get him out. Honestly, Aziz, he's shown that he could sit out for weeks and come back and make an impact. If his ankle is tweaked, keep him away from the field. My God, please. I just am praying for those four on the defensive line. I said it a few weeks ago with McKinney and Adoree and our full defensive line against the Vikings. Giants fans, I hope you're getting excited for that possibility. And that's what's at risk against the Eagles. And you know what? Fuck the Eagles. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. But there's bigger things at play right now. I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. No matter who plays, I'm sure that they will give the Eagles all they can handle. But let's look ahead at the NFC bracket. You know, a lot can change, but as it stands today, the Eagles have the number one seed. In the two seed, you have the 49ers who are going to play one of three teams, the Packers, the Lions, or the Seahawks. Now, the Packers are the only team that has a win and in scenario. Three seed, the Vikings are going to host the Giants. If they stay there, they could flip-flop with the 49ers. The Buccaneers have finally locked up the NFC South at, what are they, 8-8? And they will be hosting, most likely, the Cowboys in that 5 seed. So there are about a dozen different scenarios for seeding. So the most likely scenario is the Vikings will remain in the 3 seed. They're only going to jump to this 2 seed if they beat the Bears and the 49ers lose to the Cardinals, whereby the 49ers would drop to the 3. And so the Giants would go out to San Francisco. So looking at these two possibilities, likely a 3 out of 4 chance the Giants will go to Minnesota. How do you guys feel about these matchups?
Yeah, I think we're looking at the Vikings because do we really see the quarterbackless Cardinals, beating the 49ers? The Bears, are involved in all this. The Vikings, I think we're going and we're going to see Kirk Cousins who – on Sunday, 4 o'clock, Kurt showed up and, we almost beat him and he played a good game. If he doesn't play well, if he makes any mistakes, that's a winnable game in the wild card round. So I feel comfortable rematch with the Vikings.
Well, you think they took him down to the wire without McKinney and Adoree Jackson and without the confidence of what they did, put up 38 points, albeit against the Colts.
And three turnovers. Two turnovers and a blocked punt. This team took them to the wire and made every possible mistake and missing some of their better players. That's good. Jesus.
Yeah. McKinney wasn't just back. The guy had 7 total tackles, 4 by himself, playing with half a club on his hand that if he doesn't have, he has an interception probably. I mean, the guy came back and played an excellent game. It wasn't just.
I don't believe he played. He didn't play a full complement of snaps either. So pretty freaking efficient then as well.
Yeah, I think the Minnesota Vikings are posers. They have this record for winning 11 games by like less than three points.
19.
And people are acting like that's a good thing.
19.
That just shows.
19 total points.
Yeah, they've just gotten lucky. I hate to say
it. In those wins, more than their opponent. So, I mean, they've gotten some, you know, I mean, they beat us, but it was a 61-yard field goal. There's lots of examples of that throughout their season. And you know, like we've seen in the past, this guy in Washington, now in Minnesota, he makes mistakes. He has bad games. Big times, he doesn't play well. You know, Kayvon's, you know, much improved over the year, even since the last time we were in Minnesota. You know, this is going to be a different.
I'm not going to bet the ranch that the Giants will win, but I'm walking up there and I'm saying, "All right, yeah, let's go. This is a game I would pay money to see. I wouldn't pay money to go watch the Giants get slaughtered, but if I'm gonna, that's the kind of game I would get on a plane. I would fly to Minnesota to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Also, if you haven't been to that stadium, get your ass there. It's absolutely amazing. That experience is phenomenal. But to the point, look, the good news is. The Vikings defense is god awful. They're just terrible. And Daniel Jones, whether anybody wants him in or not, is on a roll. Like, you got to feel good going in there and scoring points. Again, they were cruising the last game. Take away those turnovers, that's another game they're scoring over 30. Yeah. Now, the bad news is that Justin Jefferson is a freak. No, they can be had, though. They have shown multiple weeks against not necessarily elite defenses that they can have off days, a la Kirk Cousins. Imploding in prime time, so there's a lot of reasons to feel good.
What if the unlikely happens and they go to San Francisco? How are we feeling about that?
Well, you know, I would prefer that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'd much prefer the matchup against the Vikings. You know, you go into San Francisco, you're going against the league's top defense, but you're also going against, you know, Brock Purdy, who has been Mr. Relevant, but was Mr. Irrelevant. He's only playing because there were two season-ending injuries to other quarterbacks. You talk about Daniel Jones-Roland. He's 72.4% over his last five games completion percentage. He leads the league. You know, that
they did just give up 30 points to Jared Stidham as well.
Yeah,
that is true.
So these 49ers are not – they're not the 85 Bears over there. I'm not saying I certainly feel more confident going to Minnesota, but this Giants team they're like a snowball rolling down the hill. They're like turning into a boulder.
Where have I heard that one before? Cue Indiana Jones music, though. Look, you're right. It's not impossible. But of the two options, we really should be hoping for the Vikings. The 49ers offense. Okay, yes, Brock Purdy. You should like, theoretically, despite what he's done over the last few weeks, the idea of Wink Martindale against Brock Purdy. But here's the thing. The Giants' rush defense is still terrible. They have Christian McCaffrey. If Deebo Samuel gets healthy, Brandon Ayuk is an athletic freak. Who am I forgetting? George Kittle. Oh, yes, all-pro George Kittle. Like, he could just dink and dunk to an all-Madden offense. And that is terrifying. And then, oh, yes, as Tommy mentioned, they're what? The number one defense in the league. So, Vikings, excuse me. Let's go to Minneapolis, shall we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the only negatives of the day was the rush defense. You know, they made Zach Moss look like, you know, a very decent NFL running back. He averaged about 5 yards, 74 total yards. And early in the game, you know, he was moving the ball pretty well. So I think we just need to button some stuff up still with the tackling. But Christian McCaffrey is what would scare me the most on the San Francisco offense.
All right, and that will get us to what the F would that look like, where each week we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the F the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if the New York Football Giants hosted the NFC Championship game this year against the Green Bay
Packers? I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
It's actually not that crazy.
That's crazy.
And if this isn't the time to dream, I don't know what is. So what would it take for that to happen? The Giants go and beat the Vikings, totally possible. The Packers need to win and get in, certainly. They'll be the seventh seed to go to the 49ers. I could see Aaron Rodgers pulling a rabbit out of the hat. Why not? Giants then would go down to Philly. Philly,
that,
again,
that would
this
be,
is a division
that's
game.
That's where it gets crazy, Roadhouse.
Can you imagine? No, I mean, it could certainly happen. I'm not afraid. I'm more afraid of the 49ers than I am the Eagles. And then the Packers, again, Aaron Rodgers gets hot. He goes and beats the Cowboys. That's just standard.
Well,
that's par for the
sure,
course.
That's the most realistic option of all the things happening on that list.
Well, it's what the F, so I don't think it's that crazy. And as season ticket holders, we would all have tickets to that game.
Oh, I would be on a flight back to New York so damn quick. Oh, my God. Could you imagine being in Dallas watching the Cowboys blow it and while getting on a plane to New York to watch an NFC championship game? Wow. That might make.
I know Saliani talks about the 41-0 game, but I was there. I was at that game. And it was one of the biggest parties I've ever been to, before, during, and after. Not saying that that'll happen again this year, but hey, this team is you know, it's crescending.
Crescending.
Hey, a lot of things need to happen.
Crescendoing?
These definitely aren't things that are out of the realm of possibility, you know. And we still don't even know what Jalen Hurts is going to look like coming back off of the shoulder.
That is his throwing shoulder.
What was the injury? Do you know? Was it
his shoulder? I don't know. It was his shoulder.
AC joint or anything? Was it?
I believe it was.
Oh, wow. That's no joke.
Sprained shoulder. But no, this team. And not to. The past isn't always the same, but it does remind you a lot of the 2007 team. They really weren't going to win anything. They were this team that just kind of gelled at the right time. They had to go on the road to the Bucks. They had to go play the 13-3 Cowboys in Dallas, beat them. Then they had to go to play the number one seed in Green Bay before playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if we're talking about what the F would that look like, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I want to bring us all back to life, or back to reality, because we are talking in dangerous waters here. But even if the Giants just win the first game against the Vikings, the talk of 07 is going to start to get loud. You know, are the Vikings that different than the Bucks of that year? Yes, of course they are, actually. But, you know, I digress. So, all right, yeah, you got me, Roadhouse. Why the hell not dream right now? MetLife NFC Championship game. Oh, dare to dream.
We are back! We are back!
All right, let's get back to slightly reality and get to huge predictions. Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Facilo Automotive, but we are working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com.
What is that?
It's huge, Tom, huge!
You're fighting every urge to go ahead and predict the playoffs. So this week, we're going to temper it down and predict just the outcome of the Giants week finale in Philadelphia.
All right, even though I urge the Giants and Daboll and company to sit the starters, I think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to come out swinging. I think they're going to prepare like it's a playoff game. And I do. I think they're going to – it's a risky move. I don't think they should do it. I think they should start preparing for the Vikings. Or as soon as that's confirmed. However, I think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to go down there, going to smack the Eagles around. Maybe not blow them out, but 24-20 Giants in Philadelphia. They're going to end the season with 10 wins.
I was saying all along that this could be our 10th, but we got to 9. We're obviously clinched. The playoffs are a lock. I think they're going to go in. They're going to play, guys. I'm going to go against my gut is to play everybody. I think things are going to be going the way that the game is not so close. It doesn't pay to play these guys. And come the second half, we're going to see some Tyrod Taylor. We're going to see some Matt Breida and Gary Brightwell. and we're going to see some of the guys that might have some injury issues off the field. Philly locks up the one seed and wins the division with Giant reserves on the field, and we do lose the game.
The funny thing is, when you were predicting earlier in the season this would be the 10th win, it was because the Eagles had everything locked up and nothing to play for.
and it all broke differently, right?
Yep. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So I don't know how huge it is, because Dable's been one step of the game, you know, ahead of the competition all year, it seems. But he is playing everybody. Yeah, they're going to come out. They're going to prepare. It's like a playoff game, yada, yada. They're going to say all the right things. But Dayball is treating this like a preseason game. They're going to get their walkthrough. They're going to play the starters for a quarter or so, and they're going to start rotating people out. Leo's not going to see the field, and you're damn right they're going to play hard, and they're going to give them everything they've got. It's going to be a close game. Some respect after the smashing we got a couple weeks back. But in the end, Eagles are going to show who they are against a depleted Giants squad that's just getting ready for the playoffs. It's going to be 30-24. Eagles, book it. We're going to Minnesota.
Yeah. Now, before we wrap up, too, I wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to DeMar Hamlin's family and DeMar Hamlin, and to one of DeMar's teammates, who is one of Rahway's own, Deion Dawkins, big left tackle for Bills Mafia. Just, you know, hope all's well with the Bills, the teammates, and most especially DeMar Hamlin. And best wishes for a speedy recovery.
All right, Giants fans, let's end tonight with the fact that the NFL still isn't aware that the Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For Roadhouse and Tommy, I'm Mac. For Big Blue All Goddamn Day. Good night.